listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. I am your host, Emily Blue, here with co-host Deanne Lax. Thank you for joining us. Happy November. Can you believe it? Wow, this year has went by so quickly. Even though we've been dealing with so much in this world, God is still yet faithful. He is still in the blessing business. Whether it's the beginning or end of your day personally, we want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy as we inspire and uplift your lives. Here's Dr. Judith Christie McAllister with Oh Give Thanks, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Trina Jeffrey, aka Sister Cantaloupe, your gospel comedian, and you listen to Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
I've had sins. And I've had pain. My heart has been broken. And my life has been strained. But in spite of everything I've been through, I still gotta say, for every little bitty thing you've done in my life. Ah! I'd say thank you. Just wanna thank you. I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, I thank you. Just wanna say thank you.
Smoking Norful with Still Say Thank You, and you're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. The number is 563-999-3456. We're so excited to have you tuned in. We Talk Radio is celebrating over 1,500 episodes. Keep tuning in to each of our shows each and every week. Bountiful blessings is the theme for November. Deanne and I want to extend opportunities to demonstrate thanks and gratitude for every blessing God has, is, and will bestow upon each of us. We hope that you will be richly blessed and empowered during this time. Here's Every Day is a Day of Thanksgiving by the Gospel Workshop of America Choir, and I Just Want to Praise You by Morette Brown Clark, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
Thank you. This is Don Washington, and you're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
Blessings and glory, and Jesus.
I'm Emily Blue, host of Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
And I am Deanne Lax, co-host of Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
We invite you to listen each Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time as we inspire and uplift your lives with incredible inspirational music and exceptional conversations with a variety of thought leaders, artists, and experts.
You will also experience empowerment through our engaging segments. So, join us each Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where you will
have a fresh start,
gain a renewed heart,
and learn to live smart right here
on Brand New Day
with Emily Blue.
You're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. The number is 563-999-3456. We have a fabulous guest who is igniting and blazing her own trail. Joy Seekers, let's welcome State Representative Jasmine Crockett to the Brand New Day family.
Thank you so much, Sora. I am very excited to finally have an opportunity to sit down with you and talk about the things that matter most to most people.
Absolutely. So tell our listening audience a little bit about your, a little bit more about yourself. I know we know that you're out of the state of Texas is representative in the District 100. So tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so perfect. So I am Jasmine Crockett. I'm the state representative for House District 100, which is located in Dallas, and that is Dallas proper, the city of Dallas, which is obviously located within the county of Dallas. And so I don't really get outside of the city limits of Dallas. I do get a small part of a city called Mesquite, but I get the heart of Dallas. I took a seat that was vacated by the now mayor for the city of Dallas, Eric Johnson. And so I'm in my first session. And I shouldn't say session because we've actually gone through about four sessions at this point. But I am a civil rights attorney by education, as well as criminal defense attorney. And it was the civil rights work as well as the criminal defense work that led me to say, I've got to do something more. And I personally felt like we were in the middle of a modern day civil rights movement and thinking, what would I do if I were to transport myself back to the original civil rights movement? And I felt as if, considering the gifts and the education that God has blessed me with, the best role that I could play is a role where I actually write the laws so that we could save ourselves from having to see the next hashtag. And so that's why I decided to run for the Texas House.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us what, I mean, you told us, I guess you've already really kind of told us what sparked your interest in law and politics, but could you maybe there's some heroes or sheroes that you may have had that sparked your interest. So maybe share those with us.
I can tell you that I never saw myself being a politician. Mm-hmm. I never saw myself practicing law. I was supposed to go to school and become an anesthesiologist and or an engineer. So I always had a higher aptitude for math and science. And so I was actually recruited to do mock trial and I did it as a senior. I became an All-American and my mock trial coach, by this point in time, I transitioned over to become a business major, which is what I ended up majoring in undergrad, which was business. So I said, well, I think I would just get my CPA. And he was like, you've got way too much personality for that. Please consider law school. And so I was blessed to receive a full ride to attend Texas Southern for law school. They played with my money after my first year, but I was top 10% of my class. And so I was supposed to get my money back. They couldn't find it. So I transferred and I graduated from the University of Houston. But I will tell you that I was convinced that the people that write our laws just didn't really know what was going on. And I'm still convinced that the majority of them don't know what's going on. But I thought if I could just tell them the stories of real people, tell them about how people have died in jail that were innocent, and could not afford bail, mm-hmm. And completely went into depression and jails failed to take care of them like they were supposed to take care of them, then maybe they would understand. Or if I tell them the story of a 17-year-old kid who was accused of capital murder and could not afford the bail to get out and sat in for 2 years and was unable to graduate from high school. And therefore we kind of messed up his life, but the day we got to trial, they dismissed the case, then maybe we could get somewhere on bail reform. If I could talk about clients like mine of Jordan Edwards, who was a 15-year-old that was shot in his head and killed by law enforcement. And that officer was the first officer in almost 50 years convicted of murder on duty in Dallas County, then maybe they would better understand where I was coming from when I was trying to write policies to make sure that we never, ever have to deal with another Jordan Edwards, or as we dealt with a summer full of outrage, and we would talk about George Floyd, but we would also do a thing where we said, say her name. And we were talking about Breonna Taylor. And if I could let them know that Breonna Taylor wasn't some off incident that happened to Breonna, but it was something that actually happens here in the state of Texas. And if I could bring those families through to testify about the detriment of no-knock warrants and how we needed to reform them, mm-hmm. then maybe I could get some change. And the list goes on and on and on. And so it's the real heroes and sheroes that really led me to do this are the everyday people, the people that I represented for so many years that either I never got to meet because law enforcement took them away from their families prematurely, mm-hmm. or because they were incarcerated and could not afford bail, or you know, they were being treated differently than their white counterparts on things such as drug crimes and things like that, that I could really get to some laws that just kind of are common sense. We all know that I was the one who was green and naive, but but that was the goal. That was the goal and that was the hope.
Okay. So was there a single moment that said, you know what, I'm going to run for office? What was that moment? Tell us about that.
You know, I actually kept thinking I need to do policy work. I need to write legislation. Mm-hmm. So I was told that there was a senator that was going to retire. And so we actually started to kind of work towards laying the foundation 4 years in advance, because that race still wouldn't be up until this upcoming cycle. So we were trying to lay the foundation. And in the time that we were laying the foundation for a lot bigger race, it was then that my predecessor decided that he wanted to run for mayor. And so at that point in time, I said, well, I can technically just go to the House instead of the Senate. And that's probably a little better anyway, because that allowed me to start with a smaller race. Now, to give people an idea of what smaller is, our House seats at the time that I ran, they're changing because of redistricting. The size was about 177,000. Mm-hmm. And those Senate seats are about, they were like 840,000 people. So I was like, this is a lot better. So we can start here. And there was still so much territory that we really never were able to kind of get to in the 13 months that we were running. So it's a lot. A lot of people think you kind of just sign up and that's that. And it's not, if you're really going to run a race. So it was very difficult. I had 5 opponents. I was outspent 5-1. I was out endorsed. I mean, they brought Beto right off of the presidential campaign trail to endorse against me. So it was tough. But one thing I always knew is that I had the people and I had the heart of the people. And it was the people that got me here. And it's the people that I am always paying homage to. And as I'm serving, they are always my focus. My focus has never wavered from anything other than the people. And so, you know, I encourage your listeners, if there's anyone that you ever believe in, it's important to give of your time, if you have the money to give of your money, because those candidates that are fighting for the everyday person, they are facing an uphill battle. Because if you're fighting for the everyday person, that may conflict with, say, some corporate interest. And, you know, so they have their picks, and usually corporate interests have the money. But the only thing that can beat money is people. So I do encourage people, and I want people to know I won by 90 votes. So every single vote counts. And it was really my volunteers that made it happen. And so I'm eternally grateful to them for everything that they've done. But the turning point definitely came, as far as specifically running for this race, when my predecessor decided that he was going to run for mayor.
Awesome. So, okay. So many of the communities that you're fighting for are seriously impacted by unequal access and are crying out to be heard. What do you have on your agenda that allows members of these communities to be heard in government?
Yeah. So there's so much, but we can start with some of the simple things nobody really talks about. So for instance, we just got done with redistricting. Mm-hmm. And I filed a bill that actually would have counted inmates where they reside, which residence is about where you intend to return to. That's why college students are usually counted at their parents' home and not counted at their institution. And what's happened is in these poor or socioeconomically disadvantaged communities, they are losing out on resources for their children. Mm-hmm. Because usually when they go off to prison, they're not taking their kids with them. So they're losing out on resources for the schools. They're losing out on resources as relates to the roads and the bridges and things like that, as well as healthcare resources. They're losing out on that. So not only are these families losing a family member, but also they are being counted in whatever small town that this prison is located in. And so the prison guards, their children and their family members are in the overflow, in addition to it harming these communities when it comes to counting them for redistricting. And so you're really diluting their voices. My district happens to have the highest incarceration rate of any house district in the state of Texas. And I do a lot of criminal justice reform. And so it would be easier if those people were actually counted in my district, even if they can't vote for me at that time because they're incarcerated. But at least I'm not getting other people added mm-hmm. to my district that maybe don't think criminal justice reform should be a big issue, right? Because they have to make up my numbers and get my numbers up. So that was one of the bills that I filed that is directly related to their voice and their access and their vote. Specifically, I also did some stuff on voting. I'm trying to think if I actually filed a bill on, I don't remember if we filed the bill or not. I filed so many bills, but I know that there was a bill that I was going to do in the state of Texas. You have the right to vote once you are off papers. I personally believe that so long as you are freely walking about, meaning that you are paying taxes and you're working a job, that you mm-hmm. should actually have the ability to vote and have a say so. So I don't remember if we filed it or not. That was always kind of one of my big issues. And then when it kind of comes to other things such as our younger people, young people are a big part of like everything that I do, because I just think that they're way better than my generation and that they are going to be the real heroes to save this country. And so many of them are getting engaged at an early age. And in the state of Texas, like we'll have our primaries on March 1, but if you aren't 18 on March 1, then you can't vote in the primary. And in a county like Dallas, where the majority of our elected officials are Democrats, it's kind of unfair. So the only time that they can actually participate would be if they're gonna be 18 by the November general election date. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're gonna be 18 by the time the general election rolls around, you should be allowed to participate in the primary as well. And so I filed a bill to do that. I also felt like Texans have been cheated for a very long time, because even though we came so close to, you know, flipping the state, you know, it was like, I don't know, I think Trump won the state by about 5 points or so.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to do is actually not give all of the electoral votes to the winner. So I didn't want us to have a winner take all situation, because I feel like it's really diluting and getting rid of so many millions of people's votes when it comes to the presidential. Yeah. So I actually filed a bill that would actually apportion the votes based on the congressional districts, which still, you know, they're gerrymandered. And so they still would get more than they're entitled to. But at the end of the day, it would be better. And honestly, it could change the entire trajectory of politics in the entire country, because we know that Republicans only have an absolute path to the White House through Texas, which is why Texas was ground zero for basically voter suppression, as well as, you know, crazy redistricting, because they are doing everything that they can to maintain not just power in the state, but on a national level. That is why, for the first time, we don't have bipartisan support for things such as reauthorizing the Voting Rights Advancement Act, which this time we call it the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. We don't have the support, which, you know, the original Voting Rights Act came about in 1965. And at that time, Congress was a lot less colorful and everything. Yet we were able to get that bill passed. We were able to get it reauthorized under George P. Bush, right? Who just have not George P. Bush, George W. Bush. Yeah, we've got George P. running. George W. Bush, we were able to get it reauthorized and it was unanimous, right? Mm-hmm. But at that time, they weren't worried about Texas. So now they're stressed about Texas because it has implications for the entire country. Mm-hmm. And so I think people should really understand why the fight was so important that the Texas Democrats engaged in the legislature, and why it was important that we ring the alarms in DC and really try to get them moving on voting rights.
Yes. So what relationship do you have with the community you serve, and what community activities do you participate in when you're able to?
Oh my gosh. So I love my community. You know, it's hard for people to say that they represent anybody and they really have not taken the time to get to know them. So I find it of value. So one thing that we do, no matter where I am, no matter what's going on, is we make sure that we engage in our monthly town halls. So I have my town hall every second Tuesday of the month, no matter where I am. Mm-hmm. So I've done it on the House floor. I have done it at a rally with Beto. I have done it all over the place, but I am committed to making myself available and making sure that people can ask me questions, no matter how hard they are. I think that I owe that to the people that have put their faith and trust in me to remain accountable to them. So we absolutely do our town halls. But beyond that, I think that as I continue to say, I believe in those generations coming behind mine. And so I believe in the kiddos. And there are issues in certain portions of my district, and sometimes I just want to make them smile and kind of not have to deal with some of the issues. So one thing we started was we have an annual kite fest. And so something so simple produced so much joy for so many kids and their parents, because even their parents hadn't flown kites before, or they definitely hadn't flown them with their kids. And we make sure that law enforcement is involved, because we are trying to build better community relations overall with our children as well as with law enforcement. We also did, we're going to do this annual kind of fishing deal, which inner city kids usually aren't going fishing. But, you know, we actually have water where we can fish. And actually, because of our event, I just found out someone from the park board told me that they actually invested in putting a bunch of catfish into the water because of our event and how many kids we had show up, because we have this park and it's just not being used in that way. But, you know, we had the poles donated, and we had, I mean, it was just really great. And the kids had a great time. And then we're doing tons of COVID vaccination. We believe in taking care of our community, and I try my best to show up and really give people the assurance that I really believe in the science behind the vaccines. We've definitely promoted it out there and let everybody know that I'm vaccinated. And, you know, I've done video footage of me being vaccinated. And when I go to get my third shot, I will make sure that we capture that as well. So we had a COVID vaccination event today, as well as I've had two others, and we've got some others that are coming up. As we approach the holidays, we're in the process of working with some of our corporate partners, such as Amazon and some of our other nonprofit organizations to make sure that we can provide food options for Thanksgiving. And then at Christmas, we absolutely will be giving away toys as well. And so we now are acquiring the Mavs as we move into redistricting. And so I'm going to be reaching out to them as well as Walmart has been a partner on a number of things. And then Andrew's distributors as well. So I'm very big on making sure that I'm connecting my corporate residents with my actual residents and making sure that we're kind of all in this thing together and working together to better our community. And I'm very excited and honored, even Encore, I talked to them recently, but I'm constantly talking to our corporate residents about the importance of investing in our residents that are living within the district. And honestly, everyone has said yes. No one has said no yet. So I'm very excited.
That's awesome. Our co-host and our other Sorora, Deanne Lackley, joined us.
Hello. How are you doing?
Awesome.
Good. Well, that sounds like some great work you're doing there in the community, Jasmine. And so my question is, we are seeing more women, in particular women of color, run for various offices on the local, state, and national level. In your estimation, what makes this so impactful during this time?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question. When people think about or ask about things like our quorum break, you know, it just wouldn't have been the same if you didn't have people of color. I'm just being perfectly honest. The people that really led that movement were the people of color. And so there always has to be this diversity of experience, this diversity of just kind of like who we are as individuals, right? For us to really start to reflect upon and exercise the will of the people that are in this country. For the first time, we actually saw a decline in Anglos when we looked at the census in this country. We are getting more and more colorful. And as we are getting more colorful, it is important that we have people that truly understand what it is that we desire, what it is that we need, and what it is that we experience as we're walking through life, and to be able to bring those experiences to the table. Now, that doesn't mean we're gonna be heard, because we have not always been heard, but it's important that we at least make sure that the conversation is taking place. And so I applaud the various people of color in general in this country. While we see setbacks happening every single day, there are advancements that are being made on the local level. And for so many reasons, I actually applaud that on so many different levels, because people are finally starting to understand that it's those locally elected officials that can do so much more for you. Those are the ones that are closer to you. And so it's important that you pay attention to those races and not just those presidential races. And so I'm really excited for what I see happening in this country, but it definitely makes other people more nervous.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You can't deny that. You see it all over the news. So my next question is, with the Voting Rights Act up in the air on the federal level, how can we encourage citizens to remain and become more engaged in the political process?
Yeah, so one of the things that I've been talking to people about is that a lot of people feel like neither party is really addressing their needs. They feel as if they're getting lip service from both parties, and they don't really feel like they fit in anywhere. And so I think it's really important that candidates understand how the general public is feeling. And with that understanding, bring about some sort of compassion for that and really deal with it. So I think the way that we deal with it is we actually go to them and we talk to them individually. People at this point in time, I believe, will only go out in big numbers because they believe in a candidate. I don't think that they're just really wanting to show up just because it's their civic duty. And that's what people are failing to understand. There's so many candidates that just want to look at, well, who are our double D's, which means that, you know, they vote, say, primary after like the last two primaries or something. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a Republican, the last two Republicans, double R's. And so they only want to go after those people that always vote. But we won't really see a change in this country. We won't really see the policies coming into place that we really want until candidates start to realize that they really need to start exciting people as individuals, especially when you're down ballot. And I know that it's a lot more difficult because down ballot races don't get the money that those at the top of the ticket get. But it's important that you excite people so that they volunteer and that you go out and you talk to people. I ran into a woman today that I never met in person. And she remembers that I called her personally and talked to her for about 15 minutes when I was running for office. And it was soon after her partner had passed away. And she told me what it meant that I didn't rush her off the phone, that I stayed and I communicated with her. And it was a priority for her to go and vote for me. And wow. She was telling me how thankful she was, not only for me to have that conversation, but for me really being who I said I was. So the other thing is that candidates have to start being real. All of this kind of, I'm going to sell you what I think you want to hear. People need to start being honest, because even if people don't agree with you, because another thing she said was, I don't agree with all that abortion stuff. And I was like, okay. And I've been the face of reproductive rights for quite some time now. And she said, but I also don't think that it's anybody else's business. So while I don't think that it's for me, I think that people should have that right. And so it was nice to hear that. But that's the difference that a candidate can make when they really put in the work.
Right, definitely. Yeah, we got to get out here, get people more excited about voting, making sure that they're involved in the process. It is hard because there's so much to deal with and so much that we see and that's confusing. And, you know, we're so opinionated, and being real really matters. You know, we don't have to have the same opinion, but equal rights is for everyone.
Right.
And we just want people to understand that. So my next question is, as an emerging young leader in politics, what do you see yourself doing in the future?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. We'll see when they decide to send me home. it's interesting because being in politics is a sacrifice. If you are younger, it is a huge sacrifice. I'm not married and I don't have kids. And at this rate, I don't know that it's going to be coming anytime soon because, you know, it's crazy. I'll be on a flight out of here. I just got in yesterday from Tampa, where I was there for almost a week, and I was in California right before that. And I've got so I'm all over the place running around. So it's probably hard for somebody to tie me down. But also, you know, just thinking about, you know, a child, and I don't know how the heck I would be able to kind of do all of that. And so it's a sacrifice personally, in addition to the way that people try to attack you in politics. Sometimes they don't leave it at you. A lot of times they come after your family and your friends. So that part is a sacrifice. And then, you know, when people talk about the systemic inequities, we have to look at even the way that we elect people or who can get elected, right? Because the Texas House, we get paid $600 a month. So you tell me if the average person has the privilege of being able to say, hey, I want to go serve my fellow citizens in the Texas House. Well, depending on your circumstances, you probably can't afford to sacrifice and make $600 a month once every 2 years for 6 months, because most jobs don't say, well, I see you in 6 months, you know? And so these are the things that make it almost impossible for some of these voices. So for me, there's lots of sacrifice that's going on. But I will tell you that, you know, as we were in DC and people saw me kind of in that space and talking about the federal issues and things like that, for about 3 months, they have been on me about running for federal office, which was honestly never on my radar. We'll see what happens. it was definitely never on my radar for a number of reasons. As a federal lawmaker, you are not allowed to practice law at all. You could be a doctor and practice medicine, but you can't practice law. And so I actually have to give up practicing law completely. So there's lots of talking that people have done. And I am convinced if an opportunity presents itself, that I will avail myself of that opportunity, because the upside is that there's more help that I can do for more people. And in addition to that, we don't know when the Texas House will actually get its life together and get on track. But we do know that there is a chance to actually be on the offensive. So long as I am in Texas, I will continue to be on the defensive, constantly trying to deflect and keep terrible bills and laws from being put into place, versus on the federal level, there's an opportunity. Don't know if it's going to happen this next cycle, for, you know, there to be a friendly majority that would allow for me to really be on the offense and actually be able to push policies that would be beneficial to the community.
Well, I understand exactly how you feel. I mean, watching the news every single day and paying attention to everything that's going on, I just have to constantly constantly pray, because wow, this is where we are. Democracy is not something that we value. I mean, forget the different parties. Do we even value democracy? Do we want an autocracy in this country?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, based on that answer, Representative Crockett, I foresee some parallels to our great soror, Barbara Jordan.
She was the first.
Absolutely, she was. So my question to you is, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, that's a good question. You know how many interviews I've done, and this is the first time I'm like, oh.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to tell you that I want people to know that I was always genuine, that there was never anything else in this for me other than really having a heart to protect and better the community from what I found it to be. I think so many people, you know, worry about their names being on buildings and all kinds of all this other stuff. I don't care about that. I care about people saying, you know, the reason that we've got clean air is because Rep Crockett started fighting those polluters that are right down the street from my house, really. You know, that she cared. She like didn't back down. That she always was gonna fight, even if she was gonna lose, because it was like five on her, right? That she was always going to fight because it just was the right thing to do. If people truly believe that I always fought for what was right, then I would be happy with that.
Awesome. Dan.
All right, well, the autumn season is officially here, and actually we're running right smack into Christmas, but we're not going to skip Thanksgiving. We are entering the Thanksgiving season, and our show theme for November is Bountiful Blessings. Share what you are most grateful and thankful for.
It'd probably be my mama.
That's a good person to be thankful for.
Indeed.
You know, it's interesting because people look at me and think that I'm so amazing. And I really have to say, do y'all want to know who she is? Like, do you want to know how I became who I am? And so I know that, but for my mom really investing in my future early on, investing in making sure that I was this well-rounded person, I just wouldn't be where I am. She always supported my ambitions, no matter how crazy they were. And so I think that people need to understand how important it is that the words that you pour into your child, or the amount of support that you give to your child. My mom worked an extra part-time job just to make sure that I could stay in private school, because she felt like that was where I was going to get my best education. She was very concerned about just making sure that I could really fend for myself. But in the process of her making sure I could fend for myself, She had me involved in Top Teens of America, where I served as a national officer, and I was doing stuff on a national level for Junior Achievement and En-ROADS and so many of these other organizations that allowed me to see so much more than just kind of myself and be caught up in the bubble that so many of our kids get caught up in. I was able to understand that homelessness is something that anyone really could be afflicted with at any point in time, because of how our jobs kind of work in this country. So many people have jobs versus careers. And so, you know, having that level of understanding, I think that I ended up with a level of empathy that will never leave me. There are people that always want to make assumptions about me because I don't have kids, but I do have cars. And so, you know, they may see me pull up in my car and they think certain things, but, you know, I was known as that person on the floor that was fighting for unhoused people as we went through the session. And so I appreciate the fact that she really made me who I am today. So I am most thankful for her. And beyond that, I'm most thankful for my constituents. I know that sounds corny or sounds political, but, you know, I really went out on a limb as we decided to leave the state of Texas, to break quorum, and I decided to be real vocal about it. Like, I dug in. And I was like, this is what we're doing, and this is why. And I did that, but it was because I really felt like that was what was right. And I didn't know if my constituency would get it or not, right? I knew why I was doing it. I didn't know if they would get it. And, you know, when you're in a whole other state, like DC is still trying to get statehood. When you're in a whole other city for, you know, over 30 days, like, you don't know, right? Like, and we know that the opposition was putting messages out there. But when I tell you, they were sending, they were like, can we cash app you some money? You need some, you know, they were sending us care packages. And so I'm just overjoyed and so thankful for the people that I serve really paying attention and understanding that I was fighting for them every step of the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, we thank you. My family lives in your district, so we thank you.
Even better. I hope they still in my district, girl, because you know we district everyone else.
I know. I do a lot of volunteering. I do a lot of work in South Dallas. I'm from Oak Cliff, family's from Oak Cliff, and you know, just the things. Actually, my husband was explaining to my son, I'm gonna post it because it was actually a very rich message that my husband was given to my 11-year-old son about just a lot of different things in life, but the freeways, like, you know, how even in certain areas, the exits are not the same and everything, so that your mind can go straight where you're going ahead and not over there into what's happening over there in that neighborhood, how intentional it is. And so he was just reminding him to, you know, always make sure your eye is on those areas and make sure you give back to the places where, you know, where you go to school, because they go to school in South Dallas. So it's like, make sure. Yes.
I was just there today.
How were you?
I was. And y'all, I stay busy. I know you asked me about things I'm doing in the community. I ain't talking about that. I do a lot. Y'all are like, I think maybe item 4 or 5 today. Like, I've been busy. I love St. Philip so much. I was like, you make somebody want to have a kid just so you can. No, but I've had so many friends that send their kids there. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, that was kind of it for it. I was like, oh, that's great. And so today, though, I actually got to take a tour, and I was just blown away with how much they do and how much they're pouring into the community around them and, you know, them buying back the block and all kinds of stuff. And so I was like, I am all in. What can I do? Like, I want to make sure y'all survive and thrive.
Right.
So, you know, and that goes hand in hand with like this partnership deal. Cause I said, listen, I don't know what's needed if don't nobody call me, but I was like, if you call me, if I can do it, I'm gonna do it. If I can't, I'm just tell you, but you know, I want to know what more is needed, because when you've got a treasure such as that, you got to make sure that, you know, it's getting everything that it needs. And so I'm like, don't hesitate to text or call me on my personal cell, because I love everything that's going on there. So, so kudos to you, Mom.
Thank you. Yeah, he's actually
your baby there.
He's actually the president of the student body now.
Look at that. No, I would absolutely love to come on a day where the kids are actually in school. So I know I'm going to end up setting it up to just kind of come in and hang out for a day, because I loved my time there. And I was just overjoyed. My heart was really, really full. And then yesterday, the Forest Theater, I went for kind of the unveiling of what's done there. And so I'm really excited to support the women that are leading up that effort, all women of color, which I love. You know, they've got a goal of raise $75 million. They've raised 25 so far. And so I'm really excited, because they've got this larger vision that is reminiscent of what is happening at St. Phillips, where it's not about just putting a theater here. It's about doing something that will allow the entire community to be enriched. So I'm really excited. Yeah. So sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, but, Elizabeth is a beast over there. Yeah, I remember when I remember when St. Phillips and Cornerstone and the Forest Theater, well, City Square, when they were all working on that project, and Elizabeth was coming over and we were starting that grant process. But yes, that's going to be an amazing opportunity. I saw it this week on the news. Great. Elizabeth is great. Wadley, is that who you had an opportunity to talk to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I'm so proud of like what's going on over there. South Dallas has a lot of hidden gems. Oak Cliff, South Dallas, lots of hidden gems. And I just wish more people would pay attention to our neighborhoods. Like, it's a lot going on in those places, and it's they're hidden gems.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of hardworking people. Lots of hardworking people. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Well, Texas State Representative Jasmine Crockett, we thank you so much for joining us. This has been amazing, and I tell you, not just because of the person that you are, but just, you know, I feel like we're just having a sisterly conversation about things that we all care about. So we want to thank you for joining us, and you're always welcome here on Brand New Day. Where can our listeners reach out to you online as well as social media, and how can we support your campaign moving forward?
Absolutely. So everything that I have is Jasmine for 100. That's Jasmine, the word for, F-O-R, 100. That's on all social media platforms, as well as that is my website. And we are even on TikTok, Jesus Christ. So we are all over. Okay. So you can find us, and we answer all DMs. So if there's anything that I can ever do, even if I'm not your state representative, please don't hesitate to reach out, because we're all in this together.
Okay, well, thank you.
That's wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you for making yourself available to everybody.
Yes, it's all what right. We need.
You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We want to give a big thank you again to State Representative Jasmine Crockett for joining us today. Make sure you go to her website and follow her on all social media platforms. Here's Kelly Williams with Thank You, and CC Winans with Blessed Assurance.
Of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, people can't get enough. have it some say. They just can't beat muggers and robbers. No place seems to be safe, but you'll be my protection every step of.
You're listening to Brand New Day.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
is my song, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise you, fellas.
Music and Conversation Radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. All right, Joy Seekers, we want to encourage you to join the Brand New Day Book Club's upcoming virtual book discussion.
Our book selection for this time is Woman Evolve, Break Up With Your Fears and Revolutionize Your Life by Sarah Jakes Roberts, who is a pastor, businesswoman, best-selling author, and media personality who expertly balances career, ministry, and family. And did we mention she's the daughter of Bishop T.D. Jakes of the Potter's House?
Yay, my pastor! In Woman Evolve, Sarah helps readers understand that your purpose in life does not change, it evolves. Your fears and insecurities may have changed how you viewed God, others, and yourself, but in Woman Evolve, you can break through and use past mistakes to revolutionize your life.
Like Eve, you don't have to live your future defined by your past. We are asking all listeners to purchase a copy of the book and read it by Thursday, November 18th, for our virtual book club discussion on Saturday, November 20th at 7 p.m. More details coming soon.
You may purchase the book at www.amazon.com or any of your local bookstores. Register to join the book club by logging on to www.brandnewdayemily.com/events.
See you soon.
It's like I'm climbing up this mountain, but my strength's too weak to make it to the top. It's like I'm trying to run a marathon with no legs or feet, hoping that I won't drop. It's like I'm swimming in the ocean with nowhere to breathe, no one to rescue me. That's every second without you. I just can't do this without you. So when the world says yes, Lord, I'll say no. And when it's trouble,
trying to find a way out. But then I get blinded and I cannot see. It's like I'm fighting for my life, but then it flatlines on the EKG. That's every second without you.
This is Andrea Williams, and I am so excited to be on Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
That was Virtue with You Are, and you're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. Well, we have reached the end of our show. Remember to tune in to the E-Man After Show at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight and all of our other shows through the week on the We Talk Radio Network. Also, We Talk Radio has a brand new website. See all of the latest updates by logging on to www.wetalkradio.com and follow We Talk Radio on all social media platforms at We Talk Radio. We would love to hear from you. Please email us your questions and comments at eblue@wetalkradio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Brand New Day Emily and Rearing Royalty, and keep the conversation going. Tell us what you are most grateful and thankful for in your life. Also, check out the Brand New Day website at www.brandnewdayemily.com. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have made, and God, we will, shall, and will most graciously rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for life, health, and strength. God, we cover those who are experiencing grief and loss. And we ask you, Lord God, to cover their hearts and minds and spirits, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Give them open joy, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, not only because this is the season of Thanksgiving, but because you are God, and you did not have to see fit for us to be here, but we thank you. We thank you. Now, God, order our steps. You said the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delighteth in his way. God, we thank you, Lord God, for ordering our steps. We ask you, God, to keep us covered in your blood. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We worship you and adore you. Continue to keep us on the right path as we journey through this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio. We would love to leave you with a motivational quote from Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts. Despite the many tears that threatened to dilute it, your faith did not dissolve. Your heart is still pumping. Your pulse is a sign that this world needs you. Here's Bishop Marvin Sapp with Praise Him in Advance.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing. Listen, listen, listen.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me.
Praise Him.
Confused the end.
So I started singing. Trouble on every side, and when